So today I want to talk about an evil conscience. Has anybody ever had one?
Yes.
An evil conscience.
I don't know what you're talking
about. An evil conscience. Now, let's imagine this is an evil conscience right here. Now, why would anyone have an evil conscience? Why would somebody sit in this chair and say, you know, I'm terrorized, I'm troubled because of what I've done? You know, I've disobeyed God, I've been rebellious, I've wanted only for me, didn't care about anybody else, and blew God off. Why would anyone have an evil conscience?
Because they're guilty.
Because they're guilty. And everybody has the law of God written on their heart, so they know right and wrong. But they deliberately choose to disobey God. Isn't that amazing? There's never been a person ever in the history of the world that hasn't chosen to sin, rebel, do their own thing, blow God off. Isn't that amazing? So, some people have an evil or a guilty or a wicked or a perverse conscience. But there's a little trick you can play. There's a trick you can play. You can pretend like you're actually good. And therefore you wouldn't have an evil conscience because you could blunt it and say, No, I did some wrong things, but I'm going to do the right thing from now on. And you could just make a decision. Wouldn't that be cool? Then you wouldn't have an evil conscience. You would have a very relaxed, hey, you know what? Other people are wicked. I can see that they are. I judge them even. Thank God I'm not like other people. I'm a decent person, kind, take care of my family, you know. I'm one you can rely upon. Now, don't you see that that would be a better idea, an improvement over this wicked, evil conscience? Y'all see that? So, there are people that are moral, and they really do behave. I mean, you like them. They're good neighbors. They get the award. You know, they have little plaques all over the house. Mother of the year. You know, best yard in town. We got that in September. Look at that one. That was good. The lady just said, I've driven by your house and I always wanted to give it to you. Not because the yard was any good, but it just looked good after that big drought. Because we have a sprinkler system and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, we don't know how we got it. But they took it away in October. So, you see, you could have a good conscience to really, really not just be evil with an evil conscience, but actually blunt your conscience down so that you actually thought you were good. I mean, you really were. So what you did is what you were. So my being is what I do. That's a religious person. So Buddhists, Hindus, Catholics, Protestants, Jews, Muslims, everybody, they don't want to be in that chair with an evil conscience, so they become moral and religious. And really just means moral. Because finally, religion is not really for God. It's really just for me behaving myself. You see that? So, some people have a good conscience. You know, and they go, I'm not troubled. I'm not burdened at all. Because I'm good. I mean, I really believe I am. I mean, I really am. Because I could have done bad, but I didn't. I could have been a drunk like this one, but I didn't. I could have been, critical of others, which I am. But I can explain it. And as long as you can explain it, you're all right. Your conscience is okay as long as you can talk. Can anybody here talk? Well, as long as your brain is working, your mind, you can justify even when you do wrong. So you can still have a good conscience because I did do wrong because I judged that person for being stupid. But here's the reason. They were. So I can justify it. I mean, I was doing it for their good. And did you know that your mind can actually come up with anything to justify what you want? Anything you want, you can just justify it. I just don't want to go to hell. And therefore, I think I'll change my religion to where God is nice. And I'll just make God not have a law. And if there's no law, then there's no sin. And if there's no sin, there's no guilt. And if there's no guilt, I'm happy. Well, actually, I'm not. Because part of the religious life is to be miserable.
Y'all see that?
And so, I'm happy being miserable because then I won't sin. Because if I'm happy, I might sin. So, my conscience is clear because I've been miserable. This is kind of a trick that religious people play. Well, I did judge, but then for 3 days I looked miserable. I think I made up for it. Praise God. And I haven't smiled for 3 years. You know, that's good. Very good. Now, you can tell someone that pays that much is certainly a good person. Even though I did it wrong, I've made up for it. Thank God. Thank God I'm not like other men. And I can despise and look down on other men legitimately. Because I really am, thank God, not like other men. Has anybody ever thought that? I'm a lot stronger, I guess. I think I'm a lot brighter, too. I mean, my mind works well. And not only that, but I'm capable. I'm a pretty powerful person. I do what needs to be done. Not like other people that say they're going to do something and don't do it. I do it. In fact, I overdo it. I'm an overachiever. Is anyone like that? So my conscience is clear. So, the Bible says God forgives those that have an evil conscience and then tells them the good news. So here's Jesus coming along, and he is going to now save which one? Will he save the one with the evil conscience or the one with the good conscience? Because this one's so blunted down, even though they have the same evil conscience, they've blunted it down, don't even look at it, and don't want to know about it. They don't even really want to read the Bible because they're afraid they might get an evil conscience. And so even though they agree with God that they have sinned, they call themselves sinners even, but they know that actually they haven't because they're really better than other people. Has anybody here has ever felt you were better than somebody else? Or better than you were this week than you were last week? It works with yourself too. So religion is here. And it looks good to man. And it looks like it pleases God. But actually, God calls it satanic. Actually, he calls this person satanic. It's interesting. It's an interesting comment when they think they're good. So there's a little dispute there. A little dispute between God's view of you and your view of you. Because God says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How many know that? All probably includes both chairs. You know, if all have sinned and fallen short, then Jesus is good for all. But what if I feel I'm good and I don't really need Jesus as my Savior? I don't need Him to forgive me because I don't have an evil conscience. Why would I go to the doctor if I'm not sick? Why would I need Jesus if I haven't sinned? Or if I have sinned, but I've made up for it. And I've gone to church a lot. And I believe I've atoned for all my sins. Whatever one thing I did, I've put 10 in its place to overcome it. So religion is what God calls Satan, like an angel of light, hath tempted many not to be sinners, but to try the religious route, the moral route, where they behave themselves and control their behavior, even though on the inside they sometimes feel urges that they know are not in line with goodness. Does that make sense? And so religion lies to people. I would say most churches are not like us. Well, we just call a spade a spade. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We don't believe these people exist. We believe these people are called liars. We believe they're called hypocrites. We believe they're called legalists. We believe they're called whatever. But whatever they are, they're not real. Because this is real. And so Jesus comes along to forgive sinners. And he said, I didn't come for the righteous. So he doesn't come for that chair. He comes for this chair. And he said, let me offer you something. Me. Not Buddha. Not Muhammad or Allah or something else. No, no, no. Let me offer me. I'm going to die for your sins because you are a sinner. And this person can feel the wickedness of their life. And they know that even if they play this game, it's a game. But many people play this game and really believe they're really good. Basically, I do some bad things, but I'm basically good. How many believe that you're basically good, even though you do some bad things? And therefore, God can half save you. I mean, He can only save the bad part of you, because the good part's already halfway there. That's another variation trick here. But the Bible calls this liar. And by the way, it's a fearful group. This is really not a happy group, this one. Because they know they've lied. And they're afraid. And did you know the first two groups in hell are the liars and the fearful? The first two groups that go to hell. And you know in the book of Revelation when all the wrath falls on everybody? It's on that group. This is the group that God will pour all of his indignation and wrath upon. And you know what they'll do? They'll repent and say, we're sorry. No. Have you ever read the book of Revelation? None of them repent. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Pastor, how can you laugh? Because I used to be that. I used to be wicked. But I was this wicked right here. I knew I was wicked. I wanted to be wicked. I was wicked, and I enjoyed being wicked. I never felt guilty about being wicked, and I was wicked. And that's all there's to it. And I loved it. I loved lying, cheating, stealing, conning people, destroying them. I cared nothing for anybody. Not my mother, not my father, three fathers. Not my sister, nobody. Fooey on everybody. Could use a stronger word, but fooey will do. Fooey on everybody, I'm taking care of Jim, me. I don't know if I'm God, but I'm going to be like God. And to hell with everybody else. How many know that that's not good? But that's the one Jesus loves. That's the very one Jesus loves. I mean, I was just naked. I was no props, no, you know, nothing. I never lied to myself. I never said, you're about to do something good. I didn't believe in, oh, I could do it, but I knew I wasn't it. I just did it to get something else that I wanted. How many are convenient Christians? You're not really passionately in love with Jesus Christ, but you still believe that, you're not as bad as other people. I have never been able to look down on anybody because I am the worst of the worst of the worst. You name anybody you want to, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Charles Manson, you know, whoever. They're equal to me. I never felt like I was better. Now, I told you, I come from a mafia family and background, but I don't think that had any influence on me. It might have. But I just was wicked. I just always lied. I love lying. I don't have to even lie, and I just do it anyway. Now, Peggy has to give a reason when she does something wrong, but I never have to. I just want to. I just do it. I don't ever think about it. Thinking comes later when, you know, you're asking me why I did it. And I don't even need my thinking. I just go, I wanted to. Now, if you're a church member, I might say, yeah, that was bad. But that was just what I'd say because you're a church member. The truth is, I just wanted to. Did you know that when you sin, you want to? Did you know that everybody wants to, and that's why they do? They don't think it out. They don't have, you know, some kind of emotional thing where, well, I just had a feeling that I was supposed to do it. That's called demonic. That's demonic. You know, a voice told me to, you know, hurt you or whatever. We have demonic people like that. And by the way, I don't even look down on those people. You know, I don't need the demons, though, to help my flesh do that stuff. You see, that the only reason I'm not demonic is because I'm just naturally wicked and I don't apologize. Whereas demonic people actually are religious people who play the schizophrenic game. Well, did I say that last night when I was drunk? Or did I do that when I was on, you know, cocaine or whatever? I didn't even know that. I love that. They are such great liars. They can lie not only to you, but they can lie to themselves. And the next minute they're eating somebody or doing something stupid or evil or bad, Daimler and all those jerks. But you know what? I call them jerks not because I'm looking down on them, but because, you know, that's just the way they can rebel against God. That's just the way that they can get even with society or whatever. I just sinned. No apology. But I will behave myself, but I know I'm lying. I often behave myself, but I just lied. You can cheat better if you do that. You can last longer. Because if you're just openly wicked, though I knew I always was, if you're just openly wicked, you get caught. You'll get caught. You'll flunk out. I mean, it'll be obvious that people don't like you. and they'll get you. Right? And so, but I found out crime did pay. But you had to be a little bit clever. Did you know that a criminal could be stupid or clever? Well, I was a clever criminal, not stupid. Stole all the time, cheated all the time, lied all the time. I mean, I can't imagine telling the truth. What for? You can do it. Can anyone identify with me? Please, is there anyone here who's like a son to me? Now, I'm no longer like that. I'm a Christian now. Because Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and I was, you know, one. And I didn't like Jesus when I first met him. When I first heard about him, I thought, how stupid is he that he would want to forgive a sinner? Why wouldn't he go for the good people? And I couldn't understand that. Now, what I just all said to you, I guess since nobody raised their hand that you're just like me, I'm all alone. Oh, thank you. Thank you. There are two of us. Lynn, thank you, Lynn. This is going all over the world on this tape. That was Lynn and Susan. Lynn and Susan. Anyone else who wants to raise your hand? Otherwise, you go to hell, you know, if you lie. So, thank you, Hugo. I love it. We're buds. We're close, intimate, tight. Why? Because everybody's born in sin and conceived in sin and therefore is going to be a sinner one way or the other. Whether you look like one or actually are one, you actually are one, even when you don't look like you're one. So, there you have it. All of sin, fallen short of the glory of God. There is a demonic, nasty, bad, evil in everybody. 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 You cannot say, I don't have any anger. Yes, you do. I don't have any fear. Yes, you do. I don't have any lust. Yes, you do. I don't have any judgmentalism. Yes, you do. You have everything. Everybody has all that stuff. It just, you lack occasion, you haven't brought out that one yet. But there'll be an occasion and then you'll be able to bring it out. Like, come to this church. Or get married. Or get into any kind of an intimate situation where you're packed up against other people and have to interact with them on a close basis and you'll begin to sin. Despise. I mean, you might do it inside of you, but it'll be there. I don't like her. You know, it'll just come out. You don't have to make it come out, it'll just come out. She shouldn't wear clothing like that. What is wrong with him? You know, he's so proud and arrogant. Thank God I'm humble. It'll just come out. Is anybody aware of that? And then when your sin comes out, of course, Jesus can now come and save you. Because he can't save those. He does not save good people. Remember? I did not come for the righteous, but for sinners who repent, who change their mind. Because they think because they sinned, they'll be judged by God. Not so. Jesus is judged by God when you sin. And he paid for it. Now, let's read this in the book of Hebrews to prove to you that I'm right. I'm correct. I'm absolutely correct. It's horrible, but I am. All right, now let's read. Let me start with verse 14. For by one offering, mi agar prosphora. For by one offering, mi agar. Okay? According to one offering, he has perfected. Wow. Forever. In the Greek, it says into perpetuity. In other words, endlessly. Forever. In other words, once Jesus dies for the sins of all mankind, including theirs, but since they're good, they don't take advantage of it. But this is the group that killed him, by the way. I mean, you also killed him, but I mean, he died for everybody. But that group actually killed him. The good guys. The people that said, here's a blasphemer. Remember those religious people called Jews? Well, the Jews are not the only one. We all killed them. They just simply were looking holy and spiritual. And they killed him because he was a blasphemer. When they were the blasphemers. Isn't that funny how we'll call other people what we are? Isn't that funny? Yeah. That, well, actually, the people that irritate us are the people that are similar to us. Yeah. Let's say somebody has a sin similar to mine, which is not hard to find. But let's say somebody has a sin similar to mine. Well, let's say they were arrogant. Has anybody ever met somebody like that? Well, I had that in my background big time. And arrogance just comes to me naturally. I will spot that person right away and judge them and despise them. That's easy for me. Why? Because here's what I'm mad about. You are arrogant, and you don't hide it as well as I do. I'm humbler about it. You know, just the way I do it is, you know, it's okay. Because I can justify mine, whereas I can't justify yours. You deserve to go to hell. I do too, but at least I'm not a liar like you. You see how you can do it? You see all the games that people play? Did you know that people can play games in their mind? So listen to Paul. He writes, or whoever wrote this, by one offering, he, this is Jesus, the priest, our high priest, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Lord, the Savior, by one offering, he has perfected forever the sanctified.
Hallelujah.
Now, the sanctified, actually here, is also meaning the justified, who are being sanctified. So in other words, you're not only a believer in Jesus, you actually want to get rid of all your legalism as well as your license. This one is license. This one's legalism. Half the world is openly licentious and wicked. I mean, no, you live in a wicked world. This is an evil world you live in. So half of the world is here, and the other half is here, that thinks they're not. Certainly not as wicked as this group. But you are. As a matter of fact, God says this is more treacherous than this. If a man's a murderer, breaks all the Ten Commandments, kills Jesus, he calls that man evil and wicked, but this one is even worse because you think you didn't do it. And you're calling God a liar. I never called God a liar. I never did. I never said God's a liar. I just said I don't believe in him. I don't want him. I don't want to deal with God because I don't like him. But I never called him a liar. If he said sinners should go to hell, I didn't disagree. I just didn't believe in God or heaven or hell or anything. I just believed in sinning. I wasn't even interested in God's opinion of anything because I didn't believe in God. How do I know which God? Buddha, Jesus, you know. How do I know what God is true? I don't care. All I know is I want to sin. Is anybody as ruthless as I am? Come on, there has to be a couple. Thank you. Is there any more? Are there any more? Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. It's good. It's good to be among friends. It's good to be with people that are not liars. You know why? You'll never grow. This group will never grow because you're not even a person. This is a person. This is a not person. And God doesn't love. He loves sinners. And he came to save the ungodly. He that worketh not. To him that worketh not. To the ungodly. That's the one that he counts as righteous if you believe in him as your righteousness and don't believe in yourself as your righteousness. That he calls righteous. You're righteous because you're unrighteous, but you believe he is righteous and that he isn't a liar and that he died for you and lived for you and rose for you and reigns for you now. So since he's your life, he counts that as righteous because you believe. So you're justified by faith. I didn't do it. He did it. I did bad, but he died for me, and then he gave me his Holy Spirit. So now, everyone who's being sanctified is the one that Jesus came for by one offering forever. One offering. Remember, the Jewish people, who are very religious, they had to do offering after year, after year, after year, after day, after week, after month. They were always doing offerings. You know, when the Jewish people in the old days... They don't do this anymore, by the way. Since Jesus, they've quit this. But in the old days, they had to have lambs every day and goats every day and turtle doves every day and cows every day and all kinds of sacrifices and shedding of blood in order to get their sins covered. But they did admit that they were wicked, and that's why they came up with all those things. And the high priest, once a year, would go into the Holy of Holies. and he would make an offering. And then that past year, you were forgiven for all those sins. Of course, the new year starts new sins. So that's not a good deal. I mean, I would count that as a very good deal. You have to wait to the end of the year to get cleansed for the whole year. But at least they got rid of it for a few seconds. And they used to let out a festal shout. Yee-haw! No, they didn't do that because they're not Texans. But something like that. It was pretty exciting. But this group here, who actually believe they're good and are better than most, as a matter of fact, they're not barbarians, thank God. And they're not perverts and whatnot. They might be, but they do it in secret. How many know that religious people do stuff in secret? They overeat. It shows up in their tummy, but they don't think of themselves as just being gluttons. An overeater does not think of themselves as a glutton, but that's the Bible word. You're a glutton. It's the sin of gluttony. How many know that when you eat too much, you're actually a glutton? Not just, well, I probably ate a little bit too much. But you know, it runs in the family. You see, they're explaining it. When you explain it, then it's not so bad. And if you just call it overeating rather than gluttony, it doesn't sound like you have sin in the Bible. Because there's nothing in the Bible about overeating. It just calls it gluttony. Isn't that funny? Don't you see how the tricks that we all play? We just change the language a little bit so it doesn't sound so bad. Instead of saying, I am a liar and an exaggerator, I could just say, well, I don't always do right. Did you see how I mellowed it down a little bit? That's the cleverness of words. And we're all gifted. I mean, everybody's gifted in being able to transform clear language into ambiguous language so it doesn't look so bad. Now, little kids don't get away with that. Did you eat that cookie? Little kids are going to get caught because they're not bright enough and sharp enough to figure out how to lie better. You know, they're giving the evidence away. So little kids, poor little kids, and they got two parents to get them, you know. The little kid, poor kid. But, you know, sooner or later they learn to be adults like us and learn to lie better. Isn't that clever? They're very clever. Are they not clever? Because they know they're going to get a spanking if they say yes. Did you eat that cookie? Then they're going to get a spanking, see? So they know. No. I love little kids because they're so transparent. But adults, big liars. They not only lie to you, they will lie to themselves. But little bitty kids don't lie. They don't even care. Did you hit your brother with that stick? That's a little bitty kid. And that not only did they hit, they're still hitting while you're talking. Because they love sticks. You ever see little boys? They just love sticks. Just love that. I mean, that's what a stick is for. Put that stick down right now. They have to get one whack in before they do. Oh, little kids are just great. I love it. Am I not right? Is that how tricky and treacherous we are? But God doesn't love these people. I just want to make this real clear. If this is you, and I suspect there's one or two in the room, if this is you and you think you're good and you really think you're really, really good, you're a liar. You're not a liar to, you know, just to God. You're a liar to yourself. That's worse. Better to be a liar over here. I mean, I lie all the time. I'm a big-time liar. I love lying. Even as a Christian, I still lie. I don't need to. I just do it. It just, I don't know, it's just fun. Peggy hates it because she's in this chair over here. Yeah, you told a lie. Why don't you just tell the truth? I don't know. I just enjoy it. Does anybody else like that? I mean, I just wanted to. Well, you're a pastor, you shouldn't do it. That's her talking to me. You're a pastor, you shouldn't be doing that. And I don't like it either. And you're bad. Well, don't you ever lie? No. With the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. Did you see that? I have all those scriptures. Thank God I know the Bible. God can use all those scriptures. Touch not the anointed of God. So, anyway, as many as she learns, I got new ones. There's a whole bunch in there. Y'all, I don't know if you all have as much fun as I do. Do y'all?
Yeah.
I can't believe that Jesus Christ would come and forgive a sinner like me, who deliberately, consciously, knowingly, happily sinned. You know, if I would cause my mom to cry or whatever, it didn't bother me at all. I'd do it even more. I don't care. Do you see what a awful person I was growing up? But I was also clever. I knew how to go to school and pretend, you know, whatever. Whoever I was with, I could do what they did and avoid being with other people that might catch me. I was very good about lying, cheating, con artisting, you know. I was good. Very good. I practiced even at home. Sometimes I'd practice looking innocent. Do I not look innocent? I do. I mean, I just have, it comes naturally to me, but actually I did cultivate it. But I mean, I have kind of a genetic, it's like, he seems trustworthy, you know, and I just take advantage of that childlike look. You wouldn't think I'm 71 years old, you know, I don't look that. But I just take advantage of all those things and say, yeah, since you fall for that, I could take advantage of you. Now, all I'm trying to point out is how treacherous mankind is, and you're no better than I. Did you know the Bible says all have sinned? In other words, this group is the same as this group, according to God. According to God, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Some look more obviously, but others are just more treacherous. And they bury it. They suppress. Suppression means, I actually don't like you, but I'm going to say I do. I'm just going to suppress it. Repression means, I actually don't like you, but I'm going to say I do, and I actually believe I do. Now you're crazy. You see? I mean, I know how to be a hypocrite, but I'm kind of a simple hypocrite, not a deep one. Like, do you really believe you're good? Yes, because I didn't express myself, you see. I had the thought, but I didn't do it. Or, I didn't even have the thought. Or, I don't even want to know if I had the thought. You see, all the tricks people can play? But it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all because of fear of punishment. You don't want to be one of those. You want to be one of these. But this is the only group Jesus came for. He only saves sinners. So, now I'm going to ask a question. How many here are sinners? How many are this kind of sinner here, openly, viciously, nastily? Good. How many are this kind of sinner? Oh, it's even Stephen. I knew it. I knew it. It's good. Now, I just want to read what Paul has to say, or the Holy Spirit. For by one offering he has perfected forever the sanctified. Whew. Wow. You know how I got sanctified? By believing that Jesus was good. I didn't believe I was good. He didn't believe I was good. We both agreed. You are a sinner. Me too. I agree. I am. Well, you know what's going to happen to you? No. Well, under the law, you'd go to hell. Oh. Well, I'm not going to stop anyway. That doesn't scare me. I don't really care. I'm going to keep sinning. But I'm going to make an offer to you. What? And then if he'd have said, if you behave, see, I wouldn't have fallen for that. He said, I'm going to die for you because I love you. And the Father's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. You're kidding. No way. That took me 7 years to think about. I thought about that for 7 years. When I first heard how dumb his offer was, it's like, you want to die for me. I sin, but you want to die for me so I don't have to sin. And then I get to go to heaven even though I sinned. I had to think about that. That is weird. Because you remember, I did lie to others, but I never lied to myself. I always knew why I did it, and my motives were always selfish, ego, nasty. Never for you. Peggy, when we got married, she was thinking it'll be a 50-50 deal. You know, 50% of the time she'll do for me, the other 50% I'll do for her, something like that. Well, it was 100% on her part. She did for me and I did nothing. I just took it. Good. Good. So she, you know, whatever she did because she wanted to be on the right side of God and be a good person, whatever she did, good. Very good. Well, don't you think you should do something now? No. Keep it up. Keep going. You're doing good. This is adding to your account. Very good. I'm helping out, you see. It's a good thing for me to take it. Well, don't you want to show a little love and kindness and care? Not really. No, I don't. I just like taking, and I don't want to give unless I can get. If I have to, I'll pay you off. What is it I have to do? Do y'all see that? Y'all see that? So, that was a great marriage. How many know that is a great marriage? I'm telling you, that is solid foundation right there. No. No, she was just an idiot to marry me. She knew that I wasn't a Christian. I mean, I told her, I'm not a Christian, but she didn't believe me. She thought, well, you behave. Well, that was just a trick. How many other guys have lines? I mean, whatever it takes to get what I want, I just do it. So she fell for my line, so I don't feel sorry for her because she was an idiot to fall for my line. And I've never been unhappy in the deal. It's just my deal. I chose it. No big deal. And especially since she was masochistic and wanted to always please me, that's good. Do it. You get to go to heaven? Fine. Whatever you come up with, that's good. Good for me. You know, you do the cooking, you do the sewing, you do the working. I'll stay at home, pray, read the Bible, have my little church. Amen. I am good at this. I was in seminary at the time when we first got married, right? I'm sorry?
I wasn't working.
And when we were in seminary?
In seminary, but not in church.
Oh, right. She's always going to point out some picadillo that I've said wrong. Okay. Exactly. You're going to go to heaven if you are. No, to see, honesty is important to her. Honesty is not important to me. I don't care about honesty. I am honest, but it's not important to me. I don't care if I'm honest or dishonest or what I am. I don't care if it comes from Satan, Jim, or Jesus. I really don't care. I don't care. I don't care what comes out of me. Do you all see that? I'm free. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I mean, this Jesus is the guy that you should be. You know, why would the guy offer to a sinner? I mean, an open one, you know, without apology. Sinner. That's silly. And now, yeah, he not only knows my outer behavior, he knows my inner thoughts and emotions and everything. He knows it all. He knows my heart is wicked, deceitful above all. You see that? And he loved me. And you know what? After 7 years, just one day, I was believing in him. I knew that I knew that I knew. I fell in love with him. And I passed Peggy way up. I really did. Because I fell in love with Jesus. Now, my behavior lagged. How many know that when you become a Christian, your behavior lags? I mean, it was a few inches behind, maybe a few miles, maybe a few eons. But whatever, I intended more than I ever did. I intended to, you know, follow Jesus, but I was a little slow on acting that way. Because I was so used to my habits. How many know that after you're a Christian, you still have a bunch of habits? You have lifelong habits. And so they went away slowly, much too slowly for Peggy. You know, she was looking for a quicker, more, you know, like a speedier Christian, especially being a pastor. You know, because she had me at home. You see, that's why, that's church, this is home, you know. Here we're going to be ourselves. y'all don't see that. But in church, you get paid. If you're horrible in church, you won't get paid. So I look forward to those offerings and stuff. Kept me going. Do y'all see that? Now, most priests would not say what I just said. Most pastors would not say what I just said. And I don't know hardly of any pastors. In fact, I don't know of any pastors who have ever got in front of their church, stood up and said, by the way, I don't believe in God. But I did that. 1970? 71. Somewhere. Anyway, so at some point. At some point, I just got up and realized.
No, I think it was 69.
Okay. In 69.
Wow.
So. Yeah. What time of day? But at any rate, I fell in love with Jesus. And I couldn't believe that God was good and that he would be good to a sinner. And that he loved me. Doesn't make any sense. Nobody loves me. I never thought anybody loved me. I didn't think Peggy loved me. I didn't believe anything. I just could take advantage of her. I didn't think anybody cared. I mean, I didn't want them to. I mean, you have to understand, I did not want people to love me. I didn't want people to even get near me. You all understand? Because I'm going to cheat them and whatever, so I don't want them too close to find out everything. But at any rate, I did fall in love, and I began, the first thing I did was I just began reading the Bible. It's the first thing I did. Immediately, I just wanted to devour everything in the Bible and spend hours and hours and hours confessing all my sins. I did. And nobody needed to tell me how to do it. Nobody needed to teach me about tithing or anything. I just immediately knew, without any teaching or anything, I just knew what to do. I mean, I just did it. I want to read this book that written all about this Jesus guy, of why he would love a sinner. I mean, that can't be true, but I now believe it is. And so I want to read it for myself. I want to read it in the original language. I want to read the Hebrew Old Testament, and I want to read the Greek New Testament, and I want to read Latin church history. So, I began. I had the tools, I had the ability, I had the capacity to do that, and so I did that. And I just spent 6-8 hours. Not going to meetings, not, you know, doing what other pastors do and, you know, putting on programs and being famous and great and so on. Not trying to build a church, not trying to do anything. I just wanted to know the Word. Just for myself. I was so happy that I was a Christian and I was going to be in heaven forever and ever, and I hadn't done anything. I was completely the last person on earth that wanted to be with God, and now here I was. And I was excited. And I knew that when you got to heaven, you had to take the last seat so you could get the first seat. I mean, I knew that. I read that in the book, you know. When you sit down in the presence of a great personage or something, you're supposed to sit in the last seat and then let him call you up higher. So I knew that's going to be my chair as soon as I get in, an act of humility on my part. I didn't know if I'd be genuine or not. I didn't know if he maybe could catch me. Jim, you sat in this last seat. You deserve it. Sit right there. Oh, poo. I wish I'd have gone up higher. But he caught me as a liar. Now, I had a sense of humor, always have had, but I had a sense of humor about all that kind of stuff. God, if you're counting on me to even behave or whatever, forget it. But if you do it all, if you do everything and I do nothing, if you do everything and I don't have any role to play except hallelujah, praise the Lord, give. If you're the giver and I'm the taker, I'm your man. But I'm not going to help you out. I'm not going to pretend like I'm a good pastor or lie to the people or whatever. I know how to do it. I'm just not going to do it. If you're as good as the Bible says you are, then I want to experience everything that's in the Bible. If it happened to Elijah, I want it to happen to me. If it happened to Abraham, I want it to happen to me. If there was a miracle of Jesus walking on water, I want that. I want everything in the Bible. I don't want to be second class. I want to be the top. Is anybody else like me? Now, I could have lied and said, now, God, I'm trying to be humble now. And no, but it's not. Even though I was born again, I didn't want to be humble. I just was believing what he said. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wow! I don't even qualify. I have nothing to qualify me. I am a pastor, but I was a liar. And I told you, I got up and told them I'm all a liar. I told everybody, I'm a liar. I'm a complete fake, complete phony. When I leave here, I don't ever go home and pray and read the Bible unless I have to present a message or something. But I want to go home, play tennis, or read a book, or, you know, do something I want to do. Y'all see that? I mean, I resented having to go to the hospital and talk to people and whatever and so on. I didn't really want to do it. I didn't really want to care for people and so on. If people be dying and Peg say, so-and-so is dying, you need to go and visit them. I'll just let them die. You know, do y'all see what a good pastor I am? Do y'all?
Yeah.
I just want you to know that's the real thought I had. And instead of lying to God, you can't lie to God. That's really what I thought. He knew it. Because I had a little train that I was playing with for 6 months, night and day, and I didn't want to leave that room. I loved playing my little 1/87th scale HO. It was beautiful. I even still have pictures of it. But God made me go and chop it up with an axe because it was, I wasn't visiting people in the hospital. That's what it was. But I called it New Eden. He should have been happy with that. And I had a little church there. I mean, I gave God his due, you see. But God knew I was a fake and a liar and a phony, but he loved me, and he said, I'll do all the changing. If you're going to do any changing, not only will I forgive you for not changing, I will now transform you into my likeness, and when the trumpet blows on the last day, you will be like me. Whoa, that's big. And I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Do you want to ask for it? I don't know, what's he do? Well, he'll do it all. Cool. Well, will I look stupid and funny and be an embarrassment? Mm-hmm, yeah. Your Yale degree and the baptism of the Holy Spirit won't go together that good. They won't know you're educated because you'll be babbling. But you'll be pleasing in my sight. So that took me a while to figure out, God, it took me 6 months, actually. In 6 months, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I was not only in love, I was energized and empowered. And I actually wanted to get right with my mother, with my wife, with my church, with my enemies, with everybody. I was just so like, whoa, this religion thing is, I should have done this before. This is so good. And I don't know if you've ever been loved by the Almighty God. It makes a difference. And I felt God was for me no matter what. And if I sinned, I knew he would take care of it. God, sorry. Thank you. Forgive me. Okay, let's go on. And so I just felt like God was making a way where there was no way. Has anybody else found that way? I'm going to read about it. Here it is. For by one offering he has perfected forever the sanctified, and bears witness to us also by the Holy Spirit. For after having said before, this is the covenant which I will covenant toward them after those days. In other words, God said this in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31:31. He said it about Jesus, which should be 600 years later. This is the covenant that I'm going to covenant. This is Jesus talking through Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet. I will covenant with them to give them the Holy Ghost. And I'll write the law on their hearts. And I will also write it in their minds. I'll inscribe it so that they get a new mind. Wow, that was amazing. That was amazing. Wow, you're doing two things. Not only are you forgiving me with your mercy, dying on the cross as Savior, but as Lord, you're going to give me the Holy Spirit, and the law will not only be written on my heart by Jesus the Savior, but also on my mind by the Holy Spirit, who daily, continually is showing me Jesus so that my mind is renewed. So you'll think differently, and you'll act differently. Wow, me? Me? Wow. You mean I won't lie anymore? No, you'll still lie. Oh. Well, what's different? Because the Holy Spirit will immediately convict you, you'll repent of it, and then you won't. Oh. Well, cool. How many notice that you still lie from time to time? How many notice that you still get angry? How many notice you're still afraid sometimes? Even though you're Christian. Even though you're born again. Even though you're Spirit-filled. Even though you come to this church. It doesn't help. Nothing makes any difference. You will still, from time to time, be envious. You will still be proud. You think, I'm growing so much, I'm sure I'm past pride. No, I don't think so. You're proud that you said that. No, you can never, ever completely eliminate forever any sin. It could come up any day. Isn't that amazing? Lust, fear, anger, jealousy, bitterness, they can just come up. And even though you're in the Spirit sometimes convicts you after you've just sinned. And you really were afraid. You just woke up full of fear. Wow, the economy's falling apart. Wow, my health is not good. Wow, the IRS is going to audit me. Wow, and you just felt fear. Maybe I have cancer. Maybe I'm going crazy. Do you ever have any of those? Well, it can just come on you at any time. And it doesn't matter how much you know Jesus. I don't care how much you know Jesus. I don't care how much you believe in Jesus. You still can have that. And you will have it. In fact, every day, Every day. There's never been a day when you were perfect. You cannot continue a whole day through perfect. Because as I said, let's say you did something right, and you'd be proud of it. Or you'd be afraid you wouldn't. So there's fear and pride. There is no possibility that you could stay without sin. Why? Because he didn't promise that. What he said is sin wouldn't rule you. Sin wouldn't control you. The sin would come, like lust, anger, fear, jealousy, whatever, but it wouldn't be able to keep you. It would then have to let go because of the power of the Holy Spirit, and because of the power of the Word, and because of the power of Jesus Christ living in you, and because you're a new creation, the old has passed away and the new has come. Because of that truth, you've been set free. Now, that doesn't mean you don't sin, but you just don't say in it. You don't keep it. It just comes for a second or two, you know, whatever. And then gone. The power of it's broken. Why? Because Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. So he not only forgives you, but he helps you and changes you and transforms you and restores you to the original image of God. Not in the world to come, but in this world right here. So actually, I love my wife, not wishing I did, but now, here, today, this minute. And I love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. When? Every day. Every day. There are no days when I just love him in my heart. I also get my mind renewed. That's what he just said right here. Having therefore, brethren, verse 19, boldness for entrance into the holies by the blood of Jesus. So you have now entrance because Jesus Christ has forgiven your sin and given you the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You now have the right to enter God's throne room at any time with no sin ever counted because of the blood of Jesus that covers you and the power of the Spirit that leads you straight in to the Holy of Holies through the veil. You don't just go to the outer court. You don't just go to the holy place. You go right on in to the Holy of Holies. You just go right into the presence of God. And you're able to worship God without any doubts, without any fears in this world. Now, isn't that powerful? And so I do. I'm always singing to God. I'm always praising God in tongues, English, whatever. I just love God. Why? Because he loves me. We love because he first loved us. So I really am transformed, even though I admit all those things. They no longer control me. They no longer can keep me. Do you all see that? And I'm not ashamed of all those things. I don't care. Because I know Jesus, that's Jesus' job. If he shows me a sin, I don't go over there and pretend like I'm good. I know I'm not good. He's good. And that he'll take care of it. Jesus, you're showing me that sin. Is that what you're working on? Yes. I'm going to eliminate that sin in you. Wow. Well, I don't need to help, do I? Could you? No. Well, then you don't need to. Besides, it's going to be a little rougher than you were imagining. To get this sin out, there's going to be a little pain tied to it. Yeah. Ah! And when he does that, I had a splinter in my thumb because I'm doing stuff. Anyway, I had three splinters, actually. One of them's still there. Anyway, I had two of them that I got out last night, but it took me days because I would just cut away at this splinter to try to get it out because it was under the skin and I didn't take care of it right away and I just left it in there and it kept hurting. And it wasn't going away or dissolving. Anyway, so that little splinter, I knew it was quite long. I could actually see it beneath the skin, kind of floating around underneath there, you know. And I thought the only way to get at it now that I've left it for a while, I mean, when it first went in, there was a puncture hole. But somehow it got buried in there because I just left it and the skin grew over it. So I was cutting away on the skin. And every time I'd cut, I was afraid I was going to hurt myself, you know, take it sharp. Ah! And I wouldn't actually hurt myself, but just the thought of it hurt me. My legs would jump and my everything. And so, but I knew I had to get that. And finally, I kept cutting through and cutting through. Ah! Ooh! Ah! Peggy could hear me, you know, crying out, Jim, stop that. You know, it's just, you baby. That hurts. It really hurts. Jim, it's not that big a thing. You know, but it was. It was huge. It hurt. Just the smallest pinprick hurt me. But anyway, I finally got it. And then I just pressed it with my thumbs And the little head poked up. But I didn't know it had come through, but it actually had broken through somehow. But I'm monkeying around with it. And I said, Peg, get here quick! You can get it out now! Don't wiggle it. Just pull it straight back. Just go slow. She was nervous. She was shaking. And she said, don't shake. Take a deep breath. Pull that thing slowly out, you know. But anyway, before she even got there, just by doing that, the little thing jumped out. It just pushed itself out. That was amazing. Don't you know that's a God? I was so glad, because I know she was going to wiggle and get me. It would have re-hurt me. But it was a big one. It was a big splinter. But I knew I'd gotten it, because I'm messing around with boards and stuff. And how many know when you're sanding or something, your hand could get through it. Wow! Goes right in. So I got a whole bunch on my finger. Now, Jesus Christ loves me. So having therefore boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, which he dedicated, this blood, dedicated for us. Enokaino. Enokaino means in a new way, in an entirely new way that's never been done before. That word kaino or kaineo in the Greek language means not just new, naos, but in a totally new shape or form that's never been done on the history of the world. And so Jesus made this new way, this new opening for us just to walk right through the curtain and go right into God's presence. It'd be like, you know, you come into the driveway, then you go into the house, then you get into the living room, and you finally go into the, you know, inner chambers. And people's houses are set up that way that the most intimate rooms are deeper in the house. Well, you can go straight in and just throw the curtains open and just go right into the presence of God. Hi, Dad. And you don't have to clean up or wash up or anything because you're a son. You're a beloved. And God is always pleased to have you and see you. Did you know that he's made a way now? A boldness. You can walk in boldly and people will try to slow you down. Remember how the disciples said, get these little kids away from Jesus because they have runny noses and snot and stuff. Get them away. And Jesus said, no, suffer the little children. Let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. So I can go into the presence of God. I don't care how many sins I've committed or whatever. I can go into the presence of God boldly. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And he just leads me in. Come on in. The Father wants to see you. You know what that means, don't you? When the Father wants to see me, I will be in the presence of God the Almighty. Not just in my faith, but actually. What's going to happen? He hates sin. He's going to burn up all the sin in my life. I mean, there might be a few favorites I wanted to keep later. I mean, I'd like to let a couple go, but I'd like to keep a few. How many have a few favorite sins you like to keep? Just in case, you know, you need them. And God's, when you go into the presence of God, there won't be anything left. Because they just burn them up. Whew. All of a sudden, your clothing, you're naked. You're just like totally naked. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God, I just want to say I love you. And he won't let any lies or anything. You can't hide anything because he sees through everything. Isn't that amazing? So you now have access boldly to go into the presence of God at any time, no matter what, and just say, God, this is what I want. Or God, I wanted to thank you. Or God, you know, and you can do anything you want, even out of order. But he does have a perfect order for you. You start out with thanksgiving, then with praise, then with adoration, then with confession of sin, and then confession of righteousness, and then petition, and then intercession, and then commitment. Those eight steps. So prayer actually has a biblical order or pattern for you to follow, and you can come in any way you want and get it all out of order. But it won't work as effectively unless you do it the way he said to do it. Always start out with thanksgiving. So, I will enter his gates, so I'm now at the outer gates, with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Hallelujah! And if you just keep moving into the presence of God the way he says, then everything will be taken care of, and you'll walk out a new man. So, the presence of God takes away sin. Burns it up. Casts it out. It's gone. It isn't even there. So every day you need to go in because his mercies are new and fresh every morning. right? So get up early and confess your sin, and then confess your righteousness because of the mercy of God, the blood of Jesus that covers you, and then go straight into the boldly into the throne. Why? Listen to what it says. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, paresion, for entrance, tain, esodon. Esodon means a way into. The Holy of Holies, hagion en to hamati, of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus is why I can always go into the presence of God and none of my sins will appear to him. Now he sees them, but he sees the blood and he knows that I relied upon the blood, not upon my sin. I totally discounted my sin because he discounted my sin and I accepted that. And I went, I'm not mentioning my sin. I won't say it because I know you've already forgiven it. And I also know it won't stop me from coming in and telling you whatever I want to tell you and pouring out my heart and pouring out my soul and pouring out everything. I just come butt naked into your presence without covering or religion or morals or anything good going for me. All I need is Jesus. I just go in by the blood of Jesus. How many have that boldness? This means everything to me. I don't know what it means to you. It means everything to me that God's not mad at me. He's not ticked off at me. He already killed Jesus for all my sins, past, present, and future. I just go in. God, I love you. And he accepts it. I could even say a wrong thing. It's okay. He's not going to get me for that. He already paid for it in Jesus. So I go in. I'm happy to go in. As I've said in a silly way, I can even eat peanuts on the way in if they're in his foyer, you know, if they're in the entry. Can I have some of these peanuts, God, before I come in? And I can do anything I want in his house. He says, come on in. I put those for you. Did you see that? Oh, yeah. It says right here for Jim. Oh, good. Can I have another one? Yeah. You know, you can do anything you want in his house. Now, it may not be the right thing to do, but he won't prevent you from doing it. There's no law. There's only a gospel. I love you. Jim, come in here. Get in here. Come in here. What are you doing? I'm eating some more chocolates. You had some chocolates, too. These are good. Get in here right away, you stinker. And so God might even come out and get me. Jim, you waste too much time with peanuts and chocolate. Get in here. So he'll take me in there, spank me good, and then everything will be okay. How many know that God wants to cleanse you and purify you in this world? Now, today, in your marriage today, in your life today, in your business today, in your world today. Forget Obamacare and all that kind of junk. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about Al-Qaeda. Don't worry about anything. Just go into the presence of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. Wow. He'll give it to you. You don't even have to fight for it or vote for it or anything. You just go into the presence of God. Get right with God. I'll give you everything else. Isn't that amazing? I'm not just saying that. I believe that. I'm not scared of anything. So I die. No big deal. It's in God's hands. So I live. No big deal. It's in God's hands. All right. Watch this. We'll close with this. A new way, a way newly made, and a living way through the veil, through the curtain. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was ripped in two? That's why you can go straight in. That is to say, his flesh, tes sarcos autu, his flesh, the flesh of him. So Jesus, because his flesh, because he was killed on Calvary, because he shed blood on Calvary, now I can go into the presence of God anytime I want. Anytime. In fact, I can live in there. I can stay in his presence. That's amazing. As a matter of fact, that's my home. As a matter of fact, that's his home, is to be at home with me. Wherever I am, he am. Wherever he am, I am. We're one. We're best buds. We're closest friends. That's too powerful. Are you in love with Jesus? I mean, to me, it's not a theology and all this. It's a love affair. It's an absolute love affair with this Jesus who sat before me and said, Jim, my Father and I love you unconditionally, and we want to give you the same spirit that's in me and in him, our spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that you may come into the presence of God without sin. Wow. That's amazing. And even though I still have it, he won't count it because of the blood. He sees that I've come in confidence. I've come in full assurance, certain. There's no way God can lie. There's no way. If I come in with these scriptures, I'm in. I don't even care what God says. He might say, Jim, you clean your feet before you get in here. You make sure you go out into the woodshed and clean up a little bit before you come in here. I think you've been sinning. He will never say that. He'll take me, I don't care how I am, because of the blood of Jesus. I can just go in boldly. Just walk in. Daddy! Just like our children did when we were little kids, you know. I mean, when they were little kids, they just burst in on us. Whoa! What are you kids doing? We're still sleeping. Dad, you have bad breath. You know how little kids are. They're bold. And they just walk right in because they love you. They love you. I can't tell the story I was going to tell about Margaret because she's here. All right. Because of this, we should approach, verse 22, we should approach with a true heart, alethenes cardias, a true heart in the full assurance of faith. In other words, I don't have any faith in me. I don't have any faith in me. I don't have any faith in you. I have faith in Jesus. Just come in the full assurance of faith. What? That means it's written. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. I just have to come in by this promise right here, this covenant right here that God made. Diatheke. This diatheke that he made, this covenant, this promise, this contract with me is Jim. It's my father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That was the original intention when he made you. And even though you did everything wrong, everything, I love you. Wow. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you love me? I didn't love you. I didn't do anything you said. I didn't even believe in you. I didn't even know you. I didn't even try. I went to church only because my third father made us. My first two fathers didn't make me. It was the third father. You know, he forced us. We had to go. And there were a bunch of hypocrites there. Now, I wasn't judging the hypocrites. I just made a judgment that they're hypocrites. You see, I wasn't looking down on them. I was just like, you guys are liars. And I'll be one too. I'm really good. Because I don't think you really believe in this stuff that you're talking about. Anyway, then it says this, and this is the last verse. Having been sprinkled according to your hearts from a wicked conscience. Remember, I said there are two wicked consciences. This one here that's open, and this one here that's hidden. Or even you don't know about it. They're both wicked. These chairs belong together. But this chair has to be kept separate. Because even though they both have wicked consciences, this person does not know that they're wicked to the hilt. Everybody is as bad as me. Everybody. Everybody. Tim, I'm sorry. I hate to inform you. Just like Hugo and me, you're the same. You're the same, right, Hugo?
Yes.
Yeah, we're not that good. I know, Hugo, you're not very good. Yeah. But Jesus loves you, just the way you are, and you took it. You took advantage of that little offer. You made a little offer to sinners. Said, if you're a sinner, I'm going to give you mercy, and then I'm going to give you power. And then I'm going to take you into the throne room. And you're going to sit there forever and ever. That'll be your destiny. Now you have a destiny. The original one that he made when he made you. That you went away from. Said, I don't want that destiny. I'll make my own way. I'll do what I want. You were stubborn. Bad. Rebellious. And she married you. How foolish a woman. Foolish woman to marry you. But you see, Jesus loves you and me. It's only other people that have difficulty understanding that. And if you think you're better, even a shred better, even an ounce better, you're wrong. You're not only not better, you're worse. You're actually in a more dangerous place because you think you're good when you're not. Whereas I could actually receive Jesus because he loves real people. And here we are without apology. Wow. It's powerful. Now, did anyone get convicted today that you have a wicked conscience? Did anyone? All of a sudden you go, that's me. I'm just like you and Hugo and Lynn. three of us. Is anyone else? Anyone want to join us? Margaret, thank you. Anyone else want to join us with a wicked conscience? That is by nature. You have a pure conscience now because of the blood of Jesus that covers you. You have full assurance now. You have boldness of access now. Why? Because Jesus Christ came for the wicked. He came for those that have troubled consciences. There's no more trouble in my conscience. Why? Because I'm not even thinking about sin or the law or expectations or performance or behaving myself or anything. You say, Pastor, you're dangerous because you might just do anything. I know. You never know. So you better pray that there's a Jesus to stop me because I could be horrible. Peggy can tell you. I'm capable of anything. Did y'all see that? See, religious people like control. They like things to be, you know, kind of in order. But I'm totally disorderly. I'm totally, you know, just rebellious. Just do my own thing. But you're just like me. You're just lying when you say you're in control. That's just an appearance. But deep down, you have a wicked conscience. Now, you blunted it. It doesn't matter. It's still there. It may only give off a little beep that you can barely hear. Beep. You might not be able to hear it. Your conscience when you were younger used to be stronger. Beep. Now, beep. It's just a small beep, but it's still there. God can hear it. How many know God can hear really small noises? It's like a dog, you know, like a German Shepherd or something. They can hear, you know, a mile away some sound. Our dogs and cats can actually tell when we're coming down the road. You know, we're still blocks away. And they come right out to greet us. I mean, that's amazing. How do they know that's me? How do they know the sound of our tires or our cars or whatever? I don't know. But that's amazing. But God is even better than dogs and cats. That's a good message. God is better than a dog or a cat. That's a good message.